a trained physicist and a trained philosopher believe in someone who they can't see or touch, you know, somebody that can't be detected with the five senses. You know, why would a trained scientist believe in something like that?
Well, I think the first thing that I'd want to say is that scientists believe in a lot of things that they can't detect directly. So, you know, whether it's in particle physics, where they can't directly detect particles, or whether it's in studying the past and cosmology or something like that. Or one example is from recent science is where they've discovered planets outside our own solar system. And in most cases, they can't observe these directly. What they're looking at is the parent star, and they see the effect that the planet has on the star. And that's why they believe in the planet, even though they can't see it. So I think there are plenty of reasons why scientists can believe in things they can't detect directly. And the basic reason for this is because the planet or the particle or whatever it is that they believe in explains what they can see. So they can do experiments, they can make observations, and the evidence that they have is best explained, I would say, by the existence of the particle or whatever.
But unlike particles, you know, God doesn't turn up as the result of any scientific experiment. I mean, surely that's an objection to God's existence, that he doesn't turn up as a result of an experiment in a lab.
Well, I think even in the scientific case, you see, in some cases, they can carry out direct experiments. But in many cases, especially when you're looking at historical sciences and you're trying to make sense of the past, then you can't do particular experiments that will show the truth one way or the other. It's a much broader picture. You've got a whole range of evidence that you've got to take into account. And what you're trying to do is to find the best explanation of this whole body of evidence. And so an example of this might be the extinction of the dinosaurs. How did that happen? Well, scientists put together a whole range of bits of evidence and then try to come up with the best explanation of that. Now, I think something similar is true in the case of belief in God. Yes, of course, it would be inappropriate to try and think of a direct scientific experiment, but when we look at the whole range of evidence that we have about the universe we live in, about human nature, then I think that's one way to think about it, that God is giving us the best explanation of all the evidence we have.
But isn't there a danger here that we end up with a God of the gaps, that scientists begin to invoke God to explain anything that seems mysterious or puzzling? I mean, is there a danger here that God just becomes something that we use to get out of having to think?
I think there is a danger there, and I would want to avoid that kind of approach. What I don't want to do is bring in God to explain the things that science can't yet explain. What I want to do is rather to take a broader view and say, well, there are a lot of things we do know about the universe, and indeed things that science tells us about the universe that provide strong reasons for belief in God. So I think it's actually some of the scientific knowledge we have, not scientific ignorance, which gives us some of the best reasons for belief in God. So I think that's right, though. I don't want to say, well, just because we can't explain something scientifically, we bring in God.
Yeah. But why then has there been such a hostile relationship between science and Christianity? If science supports the existence of God, why has the church been so hostile to science in the past?
Well, I think the idea that there's been a sort of ongoing conflict between science on the one hand and the church on the other is a misconception that a lot of people have. And it often appears in the media that there's this ongoing rivalry, and it's somehow inevitable. It's just by the very nature of religion and the very nature of science that they must always be in conflict. But I don't think that's right historically at all. In fact, I think one of the best reasons actually for belief in God starts with science itself. When we think about the whole scientific enterprise, why is it that science works? Why is it so successful? When you think about it, what scientists are doing is they're looking at the universe and they're able to come up with laws that describe how the universe works. Now, it's interesting historically that it was actually within a Christian context that we see the development of modern science. So many of the founders of modern science were devout believers. They believed in God, and it was because of their belief in God in many cases that they did science, because one of the things that Kepler, for example, said was that in doing science, he was thinking God's thoughts after him. It was precisely because he believed in God that he engaged in science.
So exactly what would this evidence for God be in your view?
Well, I think there's a number of things. I think, you know, following on from that point about the laws that scientists discover, I think one of the things about science is that we discover so much order in the universe. So whether this is at the level of, you know, the large scale level of the universe, looking at stars, galaxies, and so forth, we see an incredible amount of order. But we see that at other levels too. Within our own planet, we see order at the level of individual organisms, right down to the tiniest organisms. When we look at the cell, we see a huge degree of order just everywhere in the universe. And the obvious question is, well, why is the universe like this? Why is there so much order? And I think from an atheistic perspective, there's no obvious answer to that at all. There's no good reason why the universe had to be like this. And yet, from a theistic point of view, this is exactly what we'd expect. If the universe is the product of the creation of an intelligent mind, then we'd expect to find order. And we see other examples as well. I mean, one of the discoveries that scientists have made over the last 40 years or so is that the universe is what they call fine-tuned for life. Basically, that there's a whole range of physical constants that are just right for life to exist. So if any one of these were just slightly different, we wouldn't be here. Life wouldn't be possible. And the precision involved in this over a whole range of parameters is remarkable. And so many scientists have said, well, what's the best explanation for this? And I would suggest that the best explanation, again, is an intelligent creator. I mean, just to give you one more piece of evidence from science itself, is a further discovery made in the 20th century that the universe was expanding, and further bits of evidence that seem to point towards the beginning of the universe. Now, the idea that the universe had a beginning, this was something that many scientists, including notably Einstein, tried to avoid, because the idea of a beginning to the universe didn't fit well with an atheistic worldview at all. You know, Stephen Hawking made this point that many scientists tried to avoid it because it smacks of divine intervention. And he's right. I mean, if the universe had a beginning, well, that's exactly what Christians have always said, that the universe had a beginning. And here we're getting scientific confirmation of that idea. So those are a few bits of evidence, I suppose, that I would point to from a scientific perspective for belief in God.